Most of us who are in the self-storage business are who own our own companies. We set yearly goals. And given that we're at the end of a year, getting ready to go into a new year as I record this, the end of 2023, going into 2024, I thought I might share with you a process I go through prior to setting any of my goals. My name's Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Quick Start Academy, which houses the on-demand self-storage boot camp that I offer. That program is designed to take you from wherever you are all the way to putting your first or your next self-storage facility into service. We will be having a live boot camp towards the end of the first quarter 2024, but you can explore looking into purchasing the on-demand boot camp. And anyone who purchases the on-demand boot camp between now and the time we have our live one will also be able to attend the live one. You can find out more about it at Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage. Hit the Quick Start Academy tab. Now, for many of us, we set yearly goals in our storage business. And before I set my goals, I try to complete what happened in the previous year. Now, I've been doing these for a number of years, these episodes. We're on 403. And I've never once talked about the process I go through because it's kind of an intimate, private process I go through, but I was sharing in the inner circle, which is a community of storage people who get together and we support each other as we grow our business. And I shared the process I used there, and it seemed to make a big impact, so I thought I might share it with you guys. Now, this process I'm going to describe is not the process. It's not the best process. It's not the best process for self-storage. It's just the process I use, and it works for me. It's been powerful for me. In fact, in the book, Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, the portfolio I was creating as I wrote that book and achieved, much of the success and the ability to get there and the ability to deal with the setbacks I experienced along the way, I think, were a function of this process. Now, before I share it with you, it's really a function of all the training I've had, Landmark Education, Tony Robbins, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and Stephen Covey's organization, what I've learned at Unity Church, and through a lot of Eastern spiritual studies I've done. So it's kind of a combination of all of them, and it's just the process I use. And before I talk about the 4-step process, what I want to do is share a concept with you that is like the context in which the process happens. Now, if you ask an average person on the street or ask somebody in your household, what gives you who you are right now? Most people will say it's my past experiences. And it's totally valid, may even be right. But I don't think it's 100% correct in my opinion. You don't have to agree with me, but try on that it's not the past that gives you who you are right now, but to a large degree, it's the future you're moving towards or living into that gives you your experience right now in this moment. And then you might say, well, okay, if that's the case, then why does it look like the past? Why does everyone say it's the past? Okay, let's think about it. So think about when you fell in love. And you really felt that love reciprocated. Or think about the day you got engaged. What was your experience in life at that moment? If you're like 99.72% of the human population, it was joy, ecstasy. Why? Well, because you now had a future with this person in it for as far as you could see. The emotional experience you were having and who you were being at that moment, you attributed to the fact that this person was going to be in your life for the foreseeable future or forever. Think about your favorite vacation spot. Think about taking a vacation. Now, the day before I take a vacation, I'm running around, I'm putting fires out, because it takes a lot for most of us to go on a vacation these days. But my experience is I'm excited. I'm happy. Why? Well, my future is that vacation. And you could even fast forward and towards the end of the vacation, I'm where I want to be, doing what I want to do, but I know it's waiting for me on my desk when I get home, and it's like, oh no. Why? That future is what I'm experiencing and living into at that moment. So just take on, not like it's the absolute truth, but try on that it's the future that gives you your experience of life and who you're being in any given moment. But if it's that, why does everyone say, and why does it look like it's the past? Well, it's because our past doesn't stay in our past. We put our past in our future. So, for example, I can remember, I think it was fifth grade, I remember asking Kathy to have lunch with me. Kathy was the most beautiful girl I'd seen. I was excited about Kathy, and I finally summoned the courage up to ask her for lunch, and she laughed at me. And she must have told her friends, because they were laughing too later on that day and for quite a while. Now, that's important information. Does that, the fact that somebody laughed at me when I asked them to eat lunch with me, does that stay in my past? Hell no, that goes in my future. That's important information. I was never much of a dater in high school. In fact, it's a miracle I ever got married, I think. And how I got engaged is a story I'll tell you later, but I'll guarantee you there were no cameras, no pictures being taken, no one was, I sure as heck didn't put myself out there as I got engaged. I'll tell that story someday. Think about a baby. When a baby's born, what's in that baby's future? Anything, everything. And then what happens? Life happens. Things happen. And slowly, what's possible in a person's life begins to get condensed. To a large degree, that's because we take our experiences and we put them in our future to inform us what we don't want to experience again. And it's not that that's bad. That just limits what's possible. So that's a concept that this work I'm going to do, this I'm going to share with you, this four-step process I go through before I set my goals. That's why I do it this way. To acknowledge and experience what I don't want to take into the next year. Now, I do this because I've got a lot of my money riding in my business. Often I have investor money riding in my business. And I've got too much at stake not to be self-reflective and to complete and clean up anything that didn't work in the previous year before I move into the next year. Now, most people with the wave of a hand will say, oh, everything's okay. Everything's, you know, I ran into some rough patches, but I'm okay. Things are okay. And that's true on one level, but it sure doesn't give me a lot of power when I do that. As an entrepreneur, I'm on the hunt for disempowering thoughts and beliefs. And I get excited when I hear myself saying something I don't want to be saying, when I can catch myself, when I reflect back. I think to be a successful entrepreneur, it really requires living a self-reflective life. Now, that's just my opinion, but I'm sharing it with you now. So I look back over the previous year and look for any disempowering thoughts or experiences I had around my business in that year. I can also do it in personal and other areas of my life, but we're talking business now. And in 2023, there was a boatload. So I can remember back in the 2008, 2009 kind of time period, you know, literally financing shut down for quite a while, almost a year. And then it was really hard to get loans. And I had loans come and due on some of the projects and buildings I owned at the time. And I can remember my experience back then of, the experience was, I'm not enough. If I really was strong, if I really had it together, I wouldn't be experiencing all these challenges around banks. So I'm probably not enough. I'm not what they want. And I did the work back then to get that complete and keep it in the past. But I noticed this year I was having some challenges with financing, and a very familiar kind of feeling in my gut came up. And as I processed it, I realized that that was it. I noticed that the feeling was, you know, heck, I'm an expert in storage. I've owned a lot of storage, sold a lot of storage, helped people in storage. There's absolutely no reason why a person like me should have trouble getting financing. But yet, I was. That familiar experience of not being enough was right there for me. And what I noticed was it made me want to play small, like not do deals, not analyze deals, not really get at what happens if I actually get a project under contract and I'm not enough and I can't get the loan, how will that make me look? And it was just fear. Now, it's not bad. We all have fear. It's a human experience. It can be a very natural reaction to events that happen. The thing is, it just doesn't serve me. I don't want it. It doesn't forward me down the field in the game I'm playing. So I certainly don't want to be taking that into 2024 and creating goals on top of this, like, background of fear that I, with the wave of a hand, don't want to look at. So I look at it. And how I look at it is step two. The next thing I do is, what was the impact of that experience? Not what happened. Not that I was having a hard time getting loans, but what was the impact of that on me? And what I saw was that old familiar feeling of not enough, not being enough. If I really had it together and was good, I wouldn't be experiencing this, surfaced. And I realized it made me want to play small. And when I play small, I don't show up for partners and investors very powerfully. I don't show up for you all as powerfully as I can. And I just didn't want to deal with that feeling. Then the step three is, what is the impact on others? So when I'm playing small, my partners and all the stakeholders, vendors, everybody I deal with, gets a very wimpy version of me. I'll be there, but it's not a powerful version of myself. And then in step four, I complete it and create it. I just don't want to take that into my future. So by owning it and really, like, experiencing it, fully flushing it out, it's no longer in the background. And I've discovered whatever's in the background kind of runs the day, drives the bus. So I just don't want to take that into 2024. Now, if it comes up in 2024, I will quickly recognize it. Why? Because I've done this work. It won't serve me, so I again put that back in the past. If you're spiritual or religious, this might be a time where you would say a prayer to have that fear removed. If you're not so inclined, just know that a fear is a thought, and a thought can be changed. And I create what I want to be. So for me, 2024, and as I started doing this work earlier this month, is all about creativity and power. And some of the hard-to-get loans I was dealing with, we've replaced one of them anyway with an SBA loan. I didn't think I wanted to do SBA on a ground-up development, but we're doing SBA on a ground-up development. It's going to take longer, so we're getting investor money and a bridge loan combination to take the land down while the SBA process occurs. And we're just being flexible, creative, and powerful. Now, I did that in anything that, as I look back on my year, was disempowering, like with partners or with investors, with the economy. I was on the hunt for disempowering experiences and feelings that were generated in the previous year. I want to flush them out, deal with them, so I'm not taking them into the next year. Now, once I do this work, I'm in a place of power, and I've got a clean slate. So when I create 3 to 5 measurable goals for 2024, it's not on top of some undistinguished, disempowering thought or belief system that I don't want to mess with. So from this clean and powerful space I've created, my goals have a much higher chance of success in the upcoming year. So that's just the process I do. I share it with you. You can consider it, modify it, use it, not use it. But that's what I do each and every year as I complete and put into the past what I don't want to be taking into the upcoming year. And I will do it again next year. And I also do it on the road between now and 12/31/2024. So I share that with you. Have a happy, safe new year and a very powerful upcoming year. And I look forward to being with you next week as we dive deep into this world of self-storage. See you then.